Blog Talk Radio.
I'm back, people. I am back. I got disconnected. So I just renamed this as audio number 31 so I could pick it up where we left off, where I was talking to you. God of Israel law versus the law of the land. 613 laws, the Hebrew kingdom. One of the greatest kingdoms on earth are not being discussed, are not being talked about, are not being studied about. It's not part of our curricula in schools. The greatest people on earth, don't nobody want to talk about them. This is prophetic power of truth, divine platform. Guest call in number 661-244-9831. If you would like to call in, I am your host, Elisheba. I'm the prophet of the Hebrew nation and the God of Israel. So I was talking to you before I got disconnected about the Hebrew kingdom, one of the greatest kingdoms on the face of the earth. And you have people like the Christian church, and you have other religious organizations teaches you that Israel is dead and Israel is done away with and they don't exist and we are new Israel. That's a bunch of lies and a bunch of madness. The United mock, I'm reading a definition for Hebrew kingdom. Is the name given to the United Israelite Kingdom of Israel and Judah during the reign of Saul, David, and Solomon. David was such a great king. Solomon was such a great, wonderful, wise, the wisest man in the world. Solomon, the wisest man in the world, are not being discussed or talked about or even nowhere in our history. All the history of the Hebrew kingdom has been destroyed. Have been destroyed, took down, or took away, or hidden, or hidden. Something got to be going on because you got the greatest kingdom on earth with their God, the number one, only true and living God of this whole entire universe is the God of the Hebrews, the one and only true God, the God of the Hebrews. That's who he is. That's who he say he is all through the Bible. I'm not talking about Jesus again. Jesus is not the God of the Hebrew kingdom. Jesus is not the God of the Hebrew nation. Jesus, again, is the God of the Christian church. And Jesus is a name that was injected in the Bible that don't even supposed to be there. Not when you're dealing with the Hebrew kingdom or the Hebrew nation or the Hebrew God or the Hebrew people. It don't even supposed to be there at all. That was injected. But I'm not talking about Jesus today. And I'm not teaching about Jesus today. Yes, we're going to pick up the 613 laws. Where we left off Saturday, we had law number 561. We almost finished with the 613 laws. I'm not talking about none of that. I'm talking about the greatest kingdom on earth and the greatest people on earth and the greatest God on earth. His name is Ahaya, the God of Israel. Not no Jehovah, not no Allah, not none of that. His name is Ahaya, the great I am. This is my name forever, he said, throughout all memorials. So you want to believe that you fall into God of the Bible. That's what y'all Christians want to believe. And you Hebrew Israelites that say y'all into the truth, or black Hebrews or whatever y'all call yourselves, y'all want to believe that y'all fall into God of the Hebrews or the God of Israel or the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But you're not. You're just another religious organization. That's all you are, is another religious organization that was set up by man. The Hebrew kingdom wasn't set up by man. The Hebrew kingdom was set up by the God of the Hebrews. It wasn't set up by no man. It wasn't set up by no doctrine. It wasn't set up by none of that. It was set up by the Hebrew people themselves. Excuse me. That's who it was set up by. The Hebrew people. The 12 tribes of Israel. That's who the Hebrew kingdom is in this earth today, the greatest people. Let me say it. I want to say it so loud that the whole earth can hear it right now, that every demon in hell can hear it right now. The greatest people on earth is the 12 tribes of Israel and their God, Ahaya. So where do you fit in at, Satan? Where do you and your people fit in at? You want to be like the God of Israel, don't you? You want to be the God of Israel. You want to take his position. It'll never happen. I'm talking to you, Satan. It will never, ever happen. Never. I don't care what you do, you and your demons, you and your people that rule this earth. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you do. You will not stop the God of Israel, and you will not stop the God of Israel people. We will be a nation again in a kingdom. Let me say it loud and clear. We will. Who is we? The 12 tribes of Israel. We will be a nation again in a kingdom. We are the last and final kingdom that will rule up in this earth. We are, who is we? The Hebrews. We are the last and final kingdom that will rule in this earth. No, y'all didn't get rid of us. Y'all didn't get rid of the Hebrew Israelites. You did not get rid of the Hebrew kingdom. What you did was hid their identity. What you did was brainwash them and teach them that they somebody that they are not. what you did, law of the land, what you did. It's told these people that they was Gentiles and Hamites and all kind of Ikes and names and stuff. That's what you did. But the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I'm speaking to you prophetically right now. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will restore, will renew, will establish the Hebrew kingdom once again in Jerusalem, the Holy Land. So let me get a scripture for you right now. Let me get a scripture for you right now. Give me a minute. Malchu. Let me write that down, people. Malchu. M-A-L-K-U. Mean kingdom in the Hebrew. Kingdom in the Hebrew. Malchu. 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 Hebrew kingdom. Give me a minute. Get that later. Exodus 5:3. Let's pick it up right there with our Bible verses today. Exodus 5:3. Let's pick it up at verse 1. And afterwards, Exodus 5:1, Hebrew kingdom. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus said a higher God of Israel. Thus said a higher God of Israel. Yes, he have a name, and he only have one name. Let my people go. Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. No, the God of the Hebrews, the God of the Hebrew nation, the God of the Hebrew building, the God of the Hebrew people, he don't need no building. He don't need no building. He don't need no temple. He don't need no theaters. He told the children of Israel to hold a feast for him in the wilderness. Let my people go, Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, who is Ahiah? Who is Ahiah that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not Ahiah, neither would I let Israel go. That's who it's all about, to the God of Israel. It is about his people, the 12 tribes. That's who he loved. That's who he desired. That's who he wants. He don't care about nothing else but his kingdom. His kingdom is the 12 tribes of Israel. Let my people go. And that's the problem right now. The people that rule this earth don't want to let the God of Israel people go. Don't want to let the God of Israel people go. Told them that they somebody else, that the God of Israel ain't never made them. They not Gentiles. They not Hamites. They're not African Americans and Mexicans and all these names that these people done gave them. Let my people go. That's what the God of Israel is saying right now to modern day pharaohs all over the earth. Let my people go. And they said, Exodus 5:3, and they said, the God of the Hebrews. You want to know who he is? I'm going to tell you who he is today, people. The God of the Hebrews. I know it doesn't matter to you about who the Hebrews is and who the Hebrew God is. It doesn't matter to you, people. It doesn't matter to you, people. All you people all over the earth, it doesn't matter to you. Evil, wicked people who the God of Israel is and who his people is, the Hebrew kingdom. Long as you can call on your gods and Jesus and all the stuff you've been taught and your tradition and your religion and all the stuff you've been taught in your life, you happy with that. But I'm here as the prophet of the God of Israel to set the Hebrew record straight. The God of Israel have a people, he have a nation, and he have a kingdom. And you people have been so programmed. You've been so programmed by the people that set up all the laws of your land. You've been so programmed that they have taught you people, it doesn't matter who I am. It doesn't matter who my mama was. It don't matter who my daddy is. It doesn't matter what color he is. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters. You've been programmed to believe that. So Moses went to Pharaoh and he told Pharaoh, the God of Israel said, let his people go. And they said, the God of the Hebrews, Abrel, that's what Hebrew means. And the Hebrew, the word Hebrew is English, Abrel Makkah is our kingdom. Abrel Makkah. The Hebrew nation. Abrel Makkah. Exodus 5:3, and they said, the God of the Hebrews, Hebrew number 5680, Abrel, for the word Hebrews is Abrel, I-B-R-I-Y, Abra, Abra, or Ebra, right, or Eber, Ibra, Ibra, or Abra, Abra. Makkah. And they said, the God of the Hebrews have met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days journey into the desert and sacrifice unto Ahayah our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. See, this is the problem, people. The greatest kingdom on earth, the greatest kingdom in this world, the greatest people in this world, is not serving their God. It's not worshiping their God. It's not calling on their God, the God of the Hebrews. That's who he is. And that's why you have pestilence and the sword in this earth. I'm reading Exodus 5:3. He said, unless you let my people go, Pharaoh. And I'm talking to all y'all modern day pharaohs all over the earth. Unless you let the children of Israel go, the Hebrew kingdom, pestilence and a sword will fall upon us. Or you. That's why you got the COVID in this earth. And that's why you got all kind of sickness and deaths in this earth. Why? Because the pharaohs refused to let the children of Israel go. They refused to let us go. They want to keep us as their slaves. They want to keep getting wealthy off of us. They want to keep making billions and millions of dollars off the Hebrew kingdom, the 12 tribes. But the God of Israel, Ahayah, he's not going to have that. He's not going to have it. He's going to fight for his remnant. He's going to fight for his kingdom. You will let my people go, Pharaoh. You will let my people go. I guarantee you, you will let them go. Just like I told Pharaoh in ancient times, I'm telling you today, you will let my kingdom go. Their time is up in your land. Their time is up in your presence. It's time for them to go back to their kingdom, go back to their land, go back to serving their God. You will let them go. Or pestilence and a sword will fall on you, Pharaoh. Exodus 3:18. Let's get that. Exodus 3:18, next scripture. And they shall hearken. Let me start at verse 17 of Exodus 3. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and to the Hittites. And the Amorites and the Brezites and the Hivites and the Jebusites unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Exodus 3:18. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shall come, thou and the elders of Israel. Beautiful kingdom that's going to be restored in the last day. And thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And he shall say unto him, Ahayah. And you shall say unto him, Moses, Ahayah, God of the Hebrews, have met with us. You want to know who he is. The God of the Hebrews. You think the Hebrews are dead? You think the Hebrew kingdom don't exist no more? It's only because we're not in our own land that we don't exist. It's only because we in captivity to the Gentiles that we don't exist. Are a people. We are a people. And we have a God. And his name is Ahiah. And he is the God of the Hebrews. Don't say nothing about no Gentiles. He is the God of the Hebrews. Your God is Jesus. Your God is Allah. Your God is Buddha. Your God is Yah. Your God is all them other names. Your God is not the God of the Hebrews. Your God is the Most High. He's the God of the Hebrews, meaning the 12 tribes of Israel make up the Hebrew kingdom and the Hebrew nation. He said, let us go. We are met with the God of Israel. We beseech thee 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice unto Ahiah, our God. What sacrifice is the God of Israel getting? What sacrifice is the God of the Hebrews getting? Absolutely none. What? So ever. And that's why the pestilence and the sword have failed up in this earth. Because the God of all gods, the God of the Hebrew nation, want a sacrifice. He wants the 12 tribes of Israel, his people. Exodus 7:16. I'm going to read all of these scriptures to show you who he is. He is the God of the Hebrews. Exodus 7:16. And thou shalt say unto him. See, they got Lord there. No, man. And thou shalt say unto him, Ahiah, God of the Hebrews, have sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hereto thou wouldest not hear. All about Moses getting the children of Israel, the 12 tribes, up out of Egypt. We're in Egypt right now, modern day Egypt. All over the earth, I told y'all. We are the greatest kingdom on earth. We are the greatest people ever lived in this earth. Hebrews. How can our God fight for us? How can our God stand for us? How can our God tell the Pharaohs to let us go? When we ain't got no prophets and we ain't got nobody to stand up for the Hebrew kingdom and the Hebrew nation, it's time to rise. Hebrews, it's time to rise for our kingdom. Just like he had to get Moses out of the wilderness to go tell Pharaoh what he wanted Pharaoh to know. He's a Moses today. Moses was the prophet of the Hebrew nation. Exodus 9:1. And after I read these scriptures, we're going to go through the laws. Exodus 9:1. Then Ahiah said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, thus say a higher God of the Hebrews, let my people go, they may serve me. That they may serve me. You're not serving the God of the Hebrews. Hebrews, you are involved with religion. You are involved with Christianity. You are involved with all kind of religions. Judaism. That's what the Hebrew Israelite churches are all about. Judaism. It's just Judaism with a different spin. It's all religion. But the God of Israel want his people to be free so they can serve him. Because you're not serving him. You're not serving the God of Israel. You're serving another God or other gods. So Exodus 9:1, he told Pharaoh, I'm the God of the Hebrews. Let my people go that they may serve me. Now, where in the Bible do it say he's a God? He's the God of the Gentiles. Where in the Bible is it saying that he's Jesus? Where in the Bible is it saying that he Allah? Where in the Bible, people, the Hebrew scrolls I'm talking about. He's the God of the Hebrews. He wrote the Hebrew scrolls. He set the Hebrew law, the covenant, in order, in place for the Hebrew kingdom and the Hebrew nation. You don't see no Jesus here. You don't see no African-Americans here, no Hamites and Egyptians and all that stuff. He is the God of the Hebrew, and all his people are Hebrews, all 12 tribes. Next scripture, Exodus 9:13, same chapter 13 verse. And the higher said unto Moses, rise up early, Moses, in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. And say, Pharaoh couldn't touch Moses. Pharaoh could not touch Moses. Why? Because the God of the Hebrews was with Moses. Because the God of the Hebrews gave Moses power and authority over Pharaoh and everybody else that he needed him to have it. So no, Moses couldn't, no, Pharaoh couldn't touch Moses. He went up in there and told King Pharaoh, children of Israel, go. And if you don't do it, the God of Israel is going to destroy Egypt. It's the same thing, people. It is the same, and I'm speaking prophetic. It's the same thing that happened back then, going to happen today. They either going to let the children of Israel go. The pharaohs, the ones that set up the law of the land, or the God of Israel going to come and deal with them. They ain't going to let us go. They not going to let Israel go. Just like Pharaoh didn't want to let him go. And he had to force Pharaoh to let him go. And the higher said unto Moses, rise up early, Exodus 9:13, in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus said the higher God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. Is the God of the Hebrews. Who is the Hebrews? Who is the people of this God? Where are they? Where are these people? Who are they? Oh, my God. How can they hide a whole race of people? How can they hide a whole nationality of people, man? How can they do that? How did the pharaohs, how was the pharaohs able to hide a identity of millions and billions of people? How was they able to hide the identity of billions of people called Hebrews? Are you brown? Hebrews, Hebrew. Mecca, the Hebrew kingdom, Mecca. How was they able to take the identity of the greatest people on the face of the earth? What happened, people? What happened? What happened to the people that the Bible speaks about from Genesis to Revelation? Where are these people? Who are their children in the earth? Who were their ancestors? How did they do it, people? You're talking about a kingdom that nobody ever, ever talks about other than the Hebrew Israelite. You're talking about a people that the God of the Hebrews loves. A people that the God of the Israel wants to fight for. He told Pharaoh back then, let my people go. And he's telling Pharaoh right now today, let my remnant go. All you care about is work, man. That's all y'all care about, is going to work and be some kind of little slave for these pharaohs, man, that have hid our identity and took away our kingdom and took away our nation and took away our God from us. You think that's cute, don't you? You think that's pretty? Then you can go get a job up in a corporation somewhere. You think that's really, really cute and really, really good. And you just really, 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 you just really, really, really doing exactly what they want you to do, the law of the land. They got you people so programmed, man. You are so programmed. You're so docile. You're so out of it. You're so sleep. You're so dead. You're so dry. You're so religious. You're so tradition. You're so stuck up on what you think it is and what you feel it is and what you believe it is. You are so stuck up. I'm sick of it, people. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. I know who I am. I don't need nobody to tell me nothing. The Bible is my history book. The Bible is the history book for the Hebrew kingdom and the Hebrew nation and our God and our Savior and our Holy Spirit and our holy angels. The Bible, the Hebrew scrolls, not that King James translated stuff that we have. I'm talking about the Hebrew scrolls that have been took away from us and hidden somewhere. tells us who we are, who our God is, and what he's going to do for us in the last days, and where we will live once he restores our kingdom. It's not important to you, though, but I'm sick of it, people, because I know I'm a Hebrew woman, and I never, ever believe that madness ever again, that I'm a Gentile. I am a Hebrew woman from the tribe of Judah. I am a queen. I am a queen. Listen to me, Hebrews. I am a queen. I am a princess. I have royal bloodline in me. Yaakov, Jacob is my father. He was a prince that ruled with the God of Israel. His name was changed from Jacob to Israel. And Israel means a prince that ruled with God as God. I'm a queen, man. And can't nobody stop a queen, not a Hebrew queen. Can't nobody stop a king, a Hebrew king. Can't nobody stop a Hebrew prince or Hebrew princess. We are being stopped because we will not accept our own history, our own genealogy of who we are and who our God is. You want to keep on believing. You want to keep on believing a lie, man. A lie. Look at our children, man. Look at our children. Look at our children. Just because we don't want to believe that we are royalty and that we are the Hebrew kingdom and we are the Hebrew nation and we are kings and queens. And can't nobody dictate to us but our God. When our God is on our side, no one can stop us. No one and nothing can stop us, Hebrews. Our God will fight for us. It ain't about no religion. It ain't about no building. It ain't about no money. It's not about no congregation. It's about who we are as a people and who our God is. That's what it's about. I am a queen. And my God of higher is a king. And his son is a king. Yeshua and the Holy Spirit is a queen. They are the royal family that live up in heaven. They are the royal family. Royal. So beautiful, so amazing family live up in heaven. And they created a people in this earth to represent them. They created a people in this earth to represent them. Look at our children. They die. They weak. They sick. They vulnerable, they lost, they destroyed, they everything. And we don't care, people. You don't care. All you want to do is keep sticking them up in school, 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 school. school. You've been doing that stuff for so very long. 500 years, we've been sticking our kids up in schools. Can't you see that that's not helping them? That's not teaching them what they're supposed to know. All it's teaching them is that they are Gentiles. All it's teaching them, the same thing it taught us. The same exact thing that it taught us is teaching our children today. Oh, God, I don't know what's going on here. Not moving. But it's damn connected, people. I don't know what's going on. The time is not moving at all. But it say I'm connected. I'm just going to keep going, people. Hopefully it turn out. I don't know. It's all it's teaching us and our children how to be weak and be under their control, whatever they think and feel that we need to know. My granddaughter don't know she's a queen. My grandson, he don't know he's a king. He don't know. And how can you be a king and a queen still sitting up under some Gentile teaching you something and telling you something? Only the God of the Hebrews, only the God of our kingdom, the Holy Spirit, want to teach us. We don't need no man to teach us nothing. Yes. I don't have no kings around me. I am a queen. And all the people around me is not kings. They don't want to be king. They don't want to be Hebrews. They don't want to be Jews. They want to be what they was programmed to be and do and think and eat and feel. That's what I see for the Hebrew race and kingdom. You don't want to be nobody. You don't want to be, you're afraid. You're afraid to build your own empire. You're afraid to let go all your religion and all your doctrine of man and come together as one people, following the God of the Hebrews. You're afraid to let your job go. You're afraid. You're afraid to let your life go and your world go and everything you've been taught and everything you don't work so hard for. You are afraid to be great, people. You are afraid of greatness. You are afraid to be great. The God of Israel want to make us great, and you people are afraid of it. I gotta get a job. I gotta go to work. I gotta go to school. Oh my God. Every time you say that, every time you believe that, you are destroying your own self, Hebrews. I'm talking to you, Hebrews. I ain't talking to no Gentile. I'm talking to the Hebrew kingdom, the 12 tribes. You destroy yourself. You destroy yourself. You are a royal bloodline. Solomon the richest man on the face of the earth. Solomon was the richest man on the face of the earth and the wisest man on the face of the earth. Abraham, all of them, excuse me. And you don't want to be nothing but a poor little stupid weak slave that keep believing that in the beast in his system. Exodus 10:3. I'm going to end it, people. I'm going to go over some laws and I'm going to end it after this. And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus said Ahiah, God of the Hebrews, how long? How long, Pharaoh? How long, Gentiles? How long you refuse to humble yourselves before me? Let my people go that they may serve me. You don't taught my people all this religion. All this religion. All these traditions that they follow year in and year out. They so wealthy, man. They got so much money. Talking about the Gentiles, the white folks that's in charge of this world. They got so much money, people. Billions and billions of dollars. And we have absolutely nothing. And we are the Hebrew kingdom. The richest kingdom on the face of the earth. The richest kingdom on the face of the earth. We are poor, broke, hungry, and have absolutely nothing, people. It's time for that to change now. It's time for that to change now. You hear me, people? Do you hear the God of Israel? I'm in tears right now. Do you hear the God of Israel? It's time for his people to be free now. They got enough money. They got enough billions of dollars. Don't enslave your children to the same ideology that they have enslaved us for 500 years. 400 years we've been in slavery on this side of the earth. Don't let them continue this with our children, man. This is the last generation that we have before us. You got to wake up, people. You got to snap out. Don't you see what's going on, man? You ain't going to have no job, man, unless you take the mark of identity. So look at Exodus 10:3. And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh. Moses and Aaron, they was brothers. They from the tribe of Levi. Haitians in the earth today. The priests. Look at our priests on the board. Look at our priests, man. At the greatest people on earth, the priests of the Hebrew nation on the borders right now. Begging. Begging for a piece of bread. Begging for a drink of water. Begging, because we don't have our own, because the Haitians, the priests, the Levites, They don't have their own food. They don't have their own resources. Excuse me. They don't have their own nothing. And all you people can do is sit back and watch the Mexicans, which is Issachar, another tribe, and watch the Guatemalans, which is Zebulon, another tribe, and watch the Hondurans, which is Judah, another tribe, our brothers. They black Negroes just like us. They just took them on the island. Over there in Honduras, they took them to the island when they got off the slave ship. And they took us to America, Europe. And all you people can do, you Hebrews, the ones that say y'all in the truth, you doing absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Everybody on the border is ready to be free. Everybody on the border want to be free. They tired. They tired of slavery. They tired of going to bed hungry. They tired of being broke. They tired of working for $2 an hour. They tired. They want to be free. Until they understand, until we understand who our God is, the God of the Hebrews, the higher, the God of Israel, until we understand who that God is and who we are as a people, we are royalty. Until we understand that and walk in that, and live in that, and believe in that, and trust in that, we will never, ever, ever be. We must walk away. We must walk away with our children. Let me get some water. Not no water. Excuse me. Until we walk away with our children, like they walking away at the borders, leaving their whole houses, leaving their land, leaving whatever they got to leave because they tired and they want to be free. Until we all do that as one Hebrew kingdom and one Hebrew nation, our God cannot operate for us. We must be one. All the tribes must be there. All the tribes must be there. Judah, Benjamin, Levi, Manasseh, Ephraim, Thali and Gad, Zebulon, Issachar, Judah. All tribes must be free. Exodus 10:3. And I'm going to read some laws. And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus said the higher God of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself, Pharaoh? How long will you refuse to humble yourself, Pharaoh? He said the same thing to the people that rule this earth today. How long do you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. And with that, people, I am going to read a couple of laws because I don't know if this tape is going to actually come out, but it's doing some okay. Okay, now I'm back in the norm. It's working the way it's supposed to work. So we are that kingdom. We are that kingdom. God of Israel law. versus the law of the land, 613 laws, the Hebrew kingdom, audio 31. It do matter who we are. It do matter what color I am. It do matter where I come from. It does matter about my DNA and my ancestors. I was thinking about something came to me, people. I remember when I was a little girl and I went to school. And the first thing they did give you when you go to school, you in kindergarten, they call it kindergarten. Kindergarten. Then you go to elementary. And then you go to middle school. Then you go to high school. The first thing they teach you when you go to kindergarten, they throw blocks and stuff on the table, all kind of blocks, all different color blocks, green blocks, red blocks, yellow blocks, and you got to put all these little blocks together, put all the little stars and stuff and figures like a puzzle. And then as time goes on, they teach you about how to spell cat, how to spell dog, how to spell bear, how to spell house, how to spell home, how to spell car. Think about it, people. The cat went down the street. The dog got ran over by the car. These are the kind of sentences that they teach you in school. The bear went up the hill and ate the fox. The monkey was swinging on the tree and he fell in the water. Why in school they teach us about animals? Why are they teaching us about cats and dogs and monkeys and cars and houses? I remember when I got like in like when you get into fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, they start teaching you how to make a house. You got to make a house. They call that art class. Art class, people. They teach you how to make a house with a little pyramid roof, little square little house with a little window and a little sun on it and all of that and a little door. Why, people? This is not what the God of Israel wants us to know. That's elementary to who we are. That's elementary to who our God is. They teach you how to build a little house and make grass and make a little dog and a little fence and a little fence with a little dog, and then you gotta have your car in front of the house. This is what they call education. Listen, people. This is what the law of the land call education. Think about it. When you was in school, you learned about dogs and monkeys and pigs running up the hill and, you know. I can't remember nothing that they really taught me other than that. And then when you get in middle school, then they start teaching you arithmetic. They call it mathematics. 1 plus 1, 2 plus 2, 8 plus 8, 9 plus 9, 100 plus 100. Solomon was the wisest man in the world. He did not go to school. He did not go to school. David, all of them, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, none of them went to school, people. None of them went to school. So why do we have to send our kids to school? And why did our mom and them have to put us in school? But nobody in the Bible went to school. Nobody in the Bible went to school. Nobody in the Bible worked for nobody but the God of Israel. They went in the field and worked for their own selves. Y'all don't understand the principle of life. You don't understand the principle of the God of the Hebrews. You broke, poor, and hungry because you keep working for somebody else. And sending your kids to these education camps called schools. I didn't learn nothing in school. I can even remember when I was in middle school. You go to English class. English they call it. Got to figure out some verbs and proverbs and all that stuff that they set up. They set it up. That's what they want to call education. That ain't what the God of Israel call education. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with him. And that's how we supposed to be as his people. The wisdom of this world, everything that this world have to offer and give me, I'm a Hebrew woman, I'm a Hebrew man, it's foolishness with me because it's foolishness with my God. But you want to believe that you're a Hebrew, you want to believe that you serve the God of Israel when you're sticking your kids still up in these educational camps. But they ain't learning nothing. They ain't learning nothing. I didn't learn nothing. I did not learn nothing, people. What is our children learning today? The same thing we learned. What did we learn? What did we learn? How to go get a job. How to write a check in the bank. How to open up a bank account where we're supposed to have our own banks. Yeah. We are the Hebrew kingdom. We are the Hebrew nation. Abraham had his own bank. He had no bank. He was his own bank. He had his own grocery store. He had his own market. He had his own everything. We are the greatest kingdom on earth. And we are the greatest people on earth. Don't let the white folks fool you. Don't let the white folks fool you, Edom and all the rest of them. Don't let them fool you. The Gentiles. They know who the greatest kingdom is on earth. They know who the greatest people is on earth. They wish they did have what we have inside of our DNA. They wish they did have the mind that we have. We are geniuses. We are geniuses at birth. We was born geniuses. They wish they did have it, the Gentiles. They don't have it. Why? Because the God of Israel, the God of the Hebrew nation, is not their God. He their creator, but he's not their God. He is their creator. And he is not, but he's not the God of the Gentiles. He only got one people in his earth. One people. That's the Israelites. Think about it, people. Think about it. Our DNA have been changed. Our mindset have been changed. Who we are have been changed. Who our God is have been changed. Where we come from has been changed. What we supposed to eat and do and wear has been changed. What we supposed to be doing has been changed. Everything about us, the Hebrews, have been changed. They'll never be us. They will never be us. They have destroyed millions and billions of us. Yeah. By what they told us to do, what they told us to eat, where they told us to go, they have destroyed millions and billions of us through programming us to believe a lie rather than the truth. That's what the Bible says. I'm tired of it now. I want my deliverance. And I want to go back to Jerusalem, where I come from. I want to go back to my land. I'm tired of slavery for the Gentiles. I'm tired of being a slave. I'm tired of them getting wealthy off of us. And we study getting poor and poor and poor and poor and poor and poor. And we ain't getting nowhere but poor. Our kids, poor. No, you don't need to work for them no more. You don't need to work for them anymore. We need to work for our kingdom now. We need to work for our nation. We need to work for our people. We need to work for one another. We need to work for the Hebrew Empire. What? Because they can give you $10 an hour. You feel like you got to work for them? Because they going to give you $10 an hour, $12, $20 an hour? It's all a game, people. It's all a game that they are playing. They get very rich, and we get very poor. What is $20 an hour, man? What is $20 an hour? What is $20? It's nothing. You know how much money Abraham made and Jacob and Isaac. You know how much money they made an hour, in 1 hour. You know how much money Jacob, my father, Yaakov, made in 1 hour. Probably 500,000, 100,000 in 1 hour. Why? Because he had his own everything. He had his own everything, man. He had his own water. He had his own food. People came to him, and but the Gentiles came to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. and bought food from them, water and everything. What is $20 an hour? That's nothing, man. For who you are, Hebrews, that's nothing. That's for kids. That's kids' pay. Even our children is worth more than $20 an hour. What is that? What is that going to do for me, $20 an hour? Absolutely nothing. I need $100,000 an hour. Or $10,000 an hour. Just like they make all them thousands of dollars an hour. That's why they wealthy. And giving us $10 and $20 an hour when they making $100,000 an hour. See, they play on your ignorance. They play on your stupidity. They play on you being dumb and not ever waking up to the truth. That's what they play on. See, they already played on us. We old now. We old now. We 60 years old, 50 years old, 80 years old, 70 years old. They already played on us. Our youth. All of our youth. All of our life. And made us servants unto them. And you think now that I'm an older woman, I want to keep being they servant? No, people. No, I refuse. No. I called my sister the other day. And I'm going to go to the law. I'm going to stop in 10 minutes and go to the law. I called my sister the other day. And I said to her, praying at my prayer table, and God spoke to me and told me to teach my granddaughter the Bible. And you know what she said to me? Oh, well, she read the Bible. She read the Bible. She read the Bible. She got the little orange Bible. You know, the New Testament, the little orange one that they give all the kids when they little. She got the little orange New Testament Bible, and she do read it. I said, no, I need you to get her a real Bible with the Old Testament in it because I need to teach her who she is. And I need to teach her who her God is. And I need to teach her history in the Bible. What little bit we have, I need to teach it to my granddaughter. That she is a king. I'm sorry, that she is a queen. That her bloodline is royalty. She is a real queen. I need to teach her who she is and who her God is and where she come from and where she is going back to. And you know what she said, my sister? Oh, well, you know what? I don't know if I want to teach her all of that. I don't know if I want to teach her all that. I don't know if she ready for all of that. See, this is the program. The same thing that my mama told her growing up, she going to come back and tell me about my granddaughter, that she ain't ready for that. See, this is the program. Long as we can keep them out of the Old Testament, long as we can keep the Hebrews, the children of Israel, because they know who we are, the Gentiles. They just know that you people don't know who y'all are. As long as we can keep them out of the Old Testament, the Torah, That's why they talk to this Donna Wayway. You don't need it. As long as we can keep them out of that, them and their children, we got them. We got them, Billy. We got them. Because as long as we keep them in the New Testament, it ain't going to never tell them about who the God of the Hebrews is. Y'all see all the scriptures I went through today in Exodus about the God of the Hebrews? That's who he is. As long as we can keep them out of that, we got them, Bob. They'll never know who the God of Israel is. They'll never know who the God of the Hebrews is. They'll never know that Jacob is their father, Yaakov. They'll never know that they bloodline, they real bloodline, they real DNA is of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, their forefathers. As long as we keep them out of the Old Testament, I never understand about King Solomon and who they was and where they come. We could just paint all the pictures white. We'll just paint. You know, I looked up King Saul, and his picture was white, a white man with a long beard. We just paint all the pictures white. Moses, we'll paint him white. We'll paint Solomon white. We'll paint David white. We'll paint Abraham white. We'll just paint everybody white. Mary, Joseph. We'll paint the Son of God. We'll paint everybody white. And we'll keep them out of the Old Testament. Because that's their history. That's their history. That's who they are. And that's where they come from. And that's what they got. A higher want them to do and follow. So we got to tell them that the law is done away with. We have to teach them that Israel is dead. And we have to teach them that he got many names. We have to teach them that God represents all colors in the earth. We got to teach them that if a man don't work, they don't eat. Yeah, we'll just inject that in the New Testament, see. Because, see, we got them what we want. We just keep them in the New Testament now. And we'll teach them over there in Matthew. We'll teach them in Matthew that when the Son of God, Jesus, they call came, we'll just say he fulfilled the law. And the law don't exist no more. And the only thing we got to do is just keep them in the New Testament. And we got them right where we want them. They're going to work for us. They're going to build our Gentile empire. We're going to rule over them from one generation to the next. And they'll never see the truth. And they'll never, even the Hebrew Israel, like GOCC and all of them, they stay in the New Testament. They stay in the New Testament. Why, people? Because they've been set up by the pharaohs and their religion and their gods and all the rest of them. So yes, people. And my sister, she had a problem with me teaching my grandbaby who she is. She a queen. She's a Hebrew queen. A Braille. Her God is the God of Israel. She need to know that she one of the tribes from the Hebrew kingdom. She had a problem with it. Why? Because she have a problem with what I've been trying to tell her. She still want to believe that she God's child. I'm God's child. I'm God. What God is you talking about? I'm God child, and she will not believe and she will not receive. And that's what's going on, people. They got the people so bewitched, so programmed, that they can only do and see what they want them to see. Let me give one more scripture, then I'm going to go into the law. But before I get this last scripture, let's pick it up in our law class. Law number 561. Law number 561. Ritual, purity, and impurity. This is a section of the law in the Torah, in the covenant, that teaches you about rituals that the God of Israel told the children of Israel that they had to do and that they couldn't do and that they needed to do. Purity and impurity. These rituals teach you about how you're going to become purified for the God of Israel and how you're going to become impure to the God of Israel. So law number 561. 61. The eight species of creeping things defiled by contact. Leviticus 11:29-30. It's eight things in the Bible that defiles a man or a woman. This is up under the dietary law. This is up under the dietary law of the God of the Hebrews. Leviticus 11:29-30. Let me get that. These also shall be unclean unto you among the creeping things that creep upon the earth, the weasel and the mouse. The weasel and the mouse. And the mouse. And the tortoise. That's like a lizard, they say. Lizard or a turtle kind. Leviticus 11:30. And the ferret is like a gecko, it say in the Hebrew, or some kind of lizard. Ferret. And the chamelon is another large lizard, it say in the Hebrew. And the lizard and the snail. Y'all know the little bitty snails? You can't eat those things. They defile. And the mole. The mole is another lizard or a bird, a mole. It's a mole or it's a swan. Swan. S-W-A-N. Swan. 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 And the fairy in the, okay, and it say, these are unclean to you. These are unclean to you among all that creep. Whosoever do touch them when they be dead shall be unclean until the evening. So all of these are unclean animals that's up under the dietary law that you cannot eat and you cannot touch. And if you touch them, you are unclean until evening. Let's read verse 32 of Leviticus 11. And upon whatsoever any of them, when they are dead, do it fall, it shall be unclean, whether it be any vessel of wood or raiment or skin or sack. Whatsoever weasel it be wherein any work is done, it must be put into water, and it shall be unclean until evening, so shall it be. Are you ready now? Cleansed. You go get the stuff. Okay. It's all right. I don't have to. I just eat some lunch meat. But anyway, people. Next law. Law number 562. The foods became defiled by contact with unclean things. Leviticus 11:34. Let's read that. I'm not going to read all of them, people. I'm just going to go through them because I want to get finished with this. Of all meats which may be eaten, that on which such water cometh, shall be unclean. And all drinks that must be drunk in every such vessel shall be unclean. Next law. Law number 564. That a lying in woman is unclean like a menstruating woman in terms of uncleanness. So when a woman is having her menstrual period, she is considered to be unclean. And that means, man, you cannot have no sex with that woman. That woman must be up under the law. She must do things that the law tell her to do. She's impure. She's defiled because she have a menstrual period coming flowing out of her. That's Leviticus 12, verse 2 and 5. Let's get that. Let's start at verse 1. And Ahijah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man child, then she shall be unclean 7 days according to the days of the separation for her infirmity, shall she be unclean. So if the woman conceive a man child, or she have a little boy, then she shall be unclean for 7 days. When I had my little boy, my son, I was unclean for 7 days and didn't even know that. Why? Because nobody ever taught me the law. My mama never taught me the law. My daddy never taught me the law. My pastor, my church never taught me the law. Nobody ever taught me the law. My grandma didn't teach me the law. My uncles didn't teach me the law. Nobody taught me the law. And again, people, this is the problem. This is the problem. So every time a woman have a baby, she is unclean if she have a little boy for 7 days. According to the days of the separation of her infirmity, shall she be unclean. And the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. They circumcised my son soon as he was born. He got circumcised. Do y'all see what's going on in this earth, man? Do y'all see how they are defiling us as Hebrews? They defiling all our women, all our sisters as Hebrews. They defiling our children. My son was circumcised when he came out of my womb. They circumcised. It's supposed to be when he's 8 days old that you circumcise the foreskin of his penis. again. We have not been taught the law of the God of Israel, the law of the God of the Hebrew kingdom, the law of the Creator. This is a law that you must keep. Jesus ain't got nothing to do with you getting forgiven for this. This is a law for a woman that is unclean. This is a law for a woman to purify herself after childbirth. After childbirth, to purify herself. Ain't got nothing to do with Jesus dying and forgiving you and all that. Nothing at all. This is the law of purification after childbirth. And if you're not doing it, and you're not following it, and you're not keeping it, guess what? You are defiled. And you are defiling yourself, and you are defiling your children. Letting them Gentiles up in them hospitals circumcise your little boy at 1 day old. No, people. Verse 4 of Leviticus 12. And she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days, which is 40 days altogether. She must continue 33 days longer. She shall touch no hollow thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. All your temples, all your theaters, all your synagogues are defiled. Why? Because you people are not following and keeping this law. You are not allowed to go in the church. Not the church of the God of Israel. Not the church of the God of Israel. Yeah, you can go in your pagan temples that Jesus is over and all that. But it must be 40 days. Verse 5. But if she bear a male child, if she bear a maid child, little girl, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks as in her separation, and she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 days. 60. 2 weeks is 14. So that's 60. 69, 70, that's 74, 80 days, when she had a little girl. She must be separated from everything and everybody for 80 days. And when the days of her purify are for a son or for a daughter, I'm reading Leviticus 12:6 now. She shall bring a lamb of the first year, just like Mary did. The Son of God mama over there in the book of Luke. Just like Mary did. She had a man child. She had to be purified for 40 days. And after the purification, she went into the temple. She went into the temple with her turtle doves and her two young pigeons and a lamb. And that's when she met Anna in the temple. So, yes, the Son of God mama did keep the law. And Joseph, his daddy, kept the law. And it say, and when the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering unto the door of the tabernacle. You cannot go to the God of Israel temple over there in Jerusalem. He only had one. He only had one. There's only one place you can put his temple, and that was in Jerusalem. So they had to go to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priest, which is the Levites, and give them the offering for their purification. So the God of Israel can make them clean. This is an order forever, people. This is a perpetual covenant. The God of Israel would never take away his law. He said what he said, and he mean what he mean. The Son of God didn't come to take away none of the laws. He come to fulfill what was written about him in the law. And then the Tanakh, the prophet. Next law. Law number 565, that a leper is unclean and defiles. Leviticus 13, 2 through 46. If you want to read that about a leper, the law of a leper, you can do that. Next law, law number 566, that the leper should be universally recognized as such by the prescribed marks. So too, all other unclean persons should declare themselves as such. Leviticus 13:45, if you want to read that law. Next law, law number 567, that a leprous garment is unclean and defiles, fouls. Leviticus 13:47-49, you can read that. Next law, law number 568, that a leprous house defiles. Leviticus 14:34-36 is talking about a house that a leper, man or a woman, have lived in. It is defiled. You want to read that? You can read that in Leviticus 14:34-46. Next law, law number 569, that a man having a running issue defiles. Leviticus 15:1-15, when a man have gonorrhea or syphilis or AIDS or some kind of disease, the God of Israel, up under the Torah, up under the covenant, say he is defiled as long as he have an issue running out of him. That's Leviticus 15:1-15. You can read that. Next law, law number 570, that the seed of appellation defiles. When a man have semen or sperm coming out of him, it defiles the man. That's why when you have sex with your husband, you and your husband need to go take a shower and wash yourself right away. And up under the law, it say you're supposed to clean your bed clothing, your sheets and your quilts and your blankets, anything that you had sex on, it's defiled. You're supposed to take it and clean it right away. Right away. You have to wash it. You have to wash it. You cannot sleep on that anymore. It's defiled. Defiled. And when a man have semen coming out of him, and he's defiled once he have sex. That's why he got to go in there and clean himself up, and the woman have to go clean herself up. You cannot let the sun go down. And you haven't took a bath and cleaned yourself up after you have had sex with your husband. You want to read that? That's law number 569. That's Leviticus 15:1-15. Law number 570. So how can the Son of God take that away? How can the Son of God take that away? No, people. He can't do that. He ain't going to do that. Law number 570, that the seed of copulation defiles, Leviticus 15:60, still talking about when a man has sperm coming out of his penis. Law number 571, that a purification from all kinds of defilement shall be effected by ceremony washing. Leviticus 15:16, that's what I just told you. After you have sex with your husband or your husband has sex with you, you must clean yourself and you must clean the bed that you have laid on, or your clothing and your bed is still defiled. You must clean yourself in the bed after you have sex on it. Law number 572, that a menstruation woman is unclean defiles other. Leviticus 15:19. Let's read that about a woman when she on her menstruation, how she defiles other people that's in her presence. Leviticus 15:19. And if a woman have an issue, and her issue is in her flesh, be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days, and whosoever touch her shall be unclean until that evening. And everything that she lie upon and her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she sitteth upon shall be unclean. So that's why the God of Israel told the priest that you need to put them away and put the woman away, put her somewhere to the side, somewhere away so she can go through her purification or separation from everything around the tabernacle and all the people. We need to put her over there by herself because everything that she touch going to be unclean. Everything that she sit on going to be unclean. This law stands today, people. This law stands today, people. Next law. Law number 573. And I'm getting ready to leave. Law number 573. That a woman having a running issue defiles. Leviticus 15:25-27. You can read that. Law number 574. To carry out the ordinance of the red heifer so that its ashes will always be available. Numbers 19:9. You want to read that? You can get that. Law number 575. That a corpse, a dead body, defiles. Numbers 19:11-16. Let's go to that. Y'all always having a lot of funerals and going to funerals. Numbers 19:11-16. Had your Halloween, your Day of the Dead, all that madness. Day of the Dead, they call it in Mexico and over there in South America. Numbers 19:11. He shall purify himself. Let it say right here. Touch the dead body of any man. Don't care if it's your mama, your daddy, your sister, your brother, your grandma. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter who it is. Whosoever touch the dead body of any that is dead and purify not himself, defile it, tabernacle of Ahia. And that soul shall be cut off from Israel because the water of separation sprinkled upon him. He shall be unclean. His uncleanness is yet upon him. This is the law. When a man died in a tent, all that come into the tent and all that is in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. 7 days. So if someone died in your house, or my house or any house. Everybody in that house is unclean for 7 days. He said you cannot touch a dead body. If you touch a dead body, the uncleanness is yet still upon you. You must have the water of separation that comes from the priest to sprinkle on you, to make you clean again. And if you don't got that, you are unclean in the eyes of the God of Israel. You have touched a dead body. You are unclean. Unclean, people. That's why I don't do funerals. I ain't doing no funeral. Care who it is. Let the dead bury the dead. Let the dead bury the dead. They dead. They don't, they, what you going to do, just be there because they your son or your daughter? Yeah, understand. Understand, people. This is how we've been taught. This is how we've been taught. Law number 576, that the water separation defile one who is clean and cleanse the unclean from pollution by a dead body. Numbers 19:19-22. Let's go to that. 19:22. Get ready to leave, people. And the clean person shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the third day. And on the seventh day, he shall purify himself and wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and shall be clean at evening. But the man that shall be unclean and shall not purify himself, that soul shall be cut off among the congregation of Israel, because he hath defiled the sanctuary of Ahiah. The water of separation have not been sprinkled upon him. He is unclean. Got a lot of unclean folks around here up in this earth. Lepers and leprosy. That's the next section of this law. Law number 577. Not to drove the hair of the scalp. Leviticus 13:33. That's just talking about leprosy. When a man or a woman got leprosy and it's in their hair. I'm in overtime now, and it's in their hair. Law number 578, that the procedure of cleansing leprosy, whether of a man or of a house, take place with cedar wood, hyssop, scarlet thread, two birds, and running water. Leviticus 14:1-7. This is how you cleanse a man or his house that have leprosy. You have to get the hyssop, cedar wood, all of that, and do it the way the law tell you to do it. Do it the way the law tell you to do it. The greatest kingdom on earth is the Hebrew kingdom. There's no law like the law of the God of Israel for his 12 tribes. Perfect. It's just. It's true. It's holy. It's righteous. It's powerful, people. It's powerful. The law of the Hebrew kingdom is so very powerful. And that's why Paul, Peter, and all the rest had so much power. Why? Because they kept the law. They kept the law of the God of Israel. You think the God of Israel going to send his son in the earth to choose 12 men that's lawless? They kept the law. Peter, them kept the law. They kept the Torah, the covenant. They was Hebrews. They was Hebrews. All of them was Hebrews. So that's why they had so much power, people. Power that you people don't have. That you'll never have and never see and never know. Why? Because they kept the law. The law is what make you power. Not make you power, I'm sorry. The law is what give you power when you keep it. When you keep the law of the God of Israel, he will give you power. He will glorify you like he did the disciples. That's why you don't got no power up in them churches, them theaters, where you go do your shows on Saturday and Sunday. Do your big shows and get all that money. You powerless people, powerless, because you lawless and you defile and you are polluted. Why? Because you breaking the God of Israel, the Hebrew kingdom laws that the God of Israel gave his people. That's the difference between you and Peter, John, and all the rest of them. They kept the law, and you people, the law. You said the law is done away. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, people. So very lawless. So very lost. So very defiled. So very polluted. So very messed up in your mind. Law number 579, that the leper should shave his hair, Leviticus 14:9. The leper must shave his hair bald. He got leprosy. Law number 580, not to pluck out the marks of leprosy, Deuteronomy 24:8. Deuteronomy 24:8. You can read that if you want. The next section of the covenant and the law is the king of Israel, the king of Israel. I'm going to read 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then we're going to close it out there and stop right there. We're going to pick it up right now at law number 581 for the king. The king. I told you, the Hebrew nation is the greatest kingdom on earth. Kings and queens, princes and prince. Yeah. Elders, governors, priests, they had their own. They had their own everything. Royalty, so wealthy, so very wealthy, man. The Hebrew kingdom was the wealthiest kingdom on earth. Y'all didn't know that, did y'all? I know you didn't know it because they not teaching you that in your school. And in your churches, the Hebrew kingdom was the wealthiest kingdom on earth and still is today. Still is the wealthiest kingdom on earth when we get back to our kingdom in Jerusalem. So no, I don't need to work for no white man. I don't need to work for no Chinese man. I don't need to work for no Arab man. I don't need to work for no black man. I don't need to work for no man. I need to work for my God, a higher is his name. I need to work for the Hebrew kingdom, the 12 tribes of Israel. That's who I'm going to work for. Y'all want to know who I'm going to work for? Let me tell you who I'm going to work for. I'm going to work for the God of Israel. Yeah. Till I get back to Jerusalem kingdom and my world and my God. And I'm going to work for the 12 tribes of Israel, the Hebrew nation. How am I going to work for them? Teaching them about the God of Israel, their God, Ahaya. Teaching them, showing them, leading them, guiding them, prophesizing to them, speaking to them prophetically, telling them what the God of Israel wants them to know and do right now. That's how I'm going to work for them. Feeding them, clothing them, giving them water to drink, going over there to the border where Levi is, the Haitians, and the Mexicans, Issachar, and the Honduras, Judah, and the Guatemalan, Zebulon, going over there to the border and taking them some food and some shoes and some water and some clothes. That's what I'm going to do. Y'all keep on working for the Gentiles, your oppressors. Keep on working for them. Made me free. Y'all hear my little baby goat out there? Y'all hear my baby goat? That's who I'm going to work for. That's who I'm going to work for. The Hebrew kingdom. I'm a nomad. I'm a Hebrew. Law number 581. Yeah, I had a miracle the other day. One of my female goats, she had three goats at one time. Three goats at one time. First time I ever seen that. Three goats at one time. Yeah, I choose to be a nomad. You choose to be a Gentile. You choose to eat Gentile food. You choose to wear Gentile clothes. You choose to look like a Gentile. You choose to serve the Gentile gods. You choose to live like a Gentile. I choose to live like a nomad and be a nomad and do what a nomad do and look like a nomad and wear nomad clothes. Eat nomad food. Goats. Out of my own backyard. Lamb out of my own backyard. Cows out of my own backyard. I am a Hebrew, and that's what I'm supposed to do. Law number 581. Not to curse a ruler that is the king of the land of Israel. Exodus 22:27. This is talking about the king. This is talking about the king. Our first king was King Saul. Our first human king. Our real king is the God of Israel. His name is Ahaya. They are a kingdom or royalty that live in heaven. Not to curse a king and of Israel. Exodus 22:27. Let's read that. Now I'm getting ready to leave, people. Talking about a Hebrew king. For that is his covering. Exodus 22:27. That's what it says. But that is his covering only if his remnant for his skin. When, no, you want to read it? Go ahead and read it. I don't want to read that. Exodus 22:27. Law number 582. To appoint a king. Deuteronomy 17:15. You know what, people? I'm going to hold this. I don't even want to go through it today because I need to get some more information to go along with this. So we're going to pick it up right here Saturday, okay? The king. I want to get us some scriptures on that and really bring it out the way that it needs to be brought out, because that's talking about the Hebrew kingdom. And it must be brought out in a beautiful way that it can glorify and represent the God of Israel. So I'm going to pick that up Saturday. We're going to start with the king, law number 581. We get in there, people. We don't have that many to go. We get in there. Not that many. So with that, people, I'm going to say I'll talk to you later, people. Stay blessed, Reverend, if you can.